However, our gender roles have changed in the past few decades. There are still some people to whom neither man nor woman feels right. A growing number of people, mainly younger folks in bigger cities, aren't going by he-she or him-her. Ray Spoon is a Canadian writer and singer-songwriter who goes by they, and Strange Chimps talked with Ray about gender.
Ray, you came out as transgender more than a decade ago, I think, and began living as a trans man. Can you tell me a little bit about that first transition?
I came out publicly a little bit after when I came out to my friends, late 2001 or something like that. And I guess what happened was I met some other people who were trans, and I'd never met anybody who'd been assigned female at birth who'd chosen to live as male. That was really an eye-opener for me that was even a choice. I think I didn't know it was an option.
And once you discovered it was an option, was there a moment of recognition like, oh, that's me?
Yeah, or at least I was like, well, actually, I don't really like being identified as female. I always had difficulty fitting into like the very stereotypical roles where I grew up, which was like a very conservative place. So partially that would be like sexism, you know, like not being allowed to play hockey and stuff like that. I think I knew that I didn't have to play with dolls or wear pink to be a girl, but I don't know, something just resonated with me. And as soon as I kind of started using the he pronoun and kind of learned certain things people did, like binding, and which is when you wear something to like flatten your chest, and it all just felt like it fit.
And did you switch to guy clothes then?
No, I didn't really have to switch up the wardrobe too much.
Your wardrobe had already been kind of on the androgynous side.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah. Uh-huh. Country music more affected my wardrobe, I think, than being trans. But
well, I'm trying to imagine the process of stepping from one gender to another. I mean, I guess I'm imagining it might be a little bit like stepping out of a wrong-fitting suit of clothes into something that actually feels like it fits.
Yeah. The idea that I could request to be called male and be accepted by certain groups of people was very alluring. There was like maybe more acceptance there for me than I had found being female.
How did that transform your life? I mean, was it just a small thing? You know, oh yeah, now people call me he.
I think it was a really big thing. I mean, at the time it still wasn't really accepted by mainstream culture. Like, I don't think there was a lot of awareness, at least in Canada at that point, about what a transgender person was. So I think that it definitely affected my life a lot, especially because I'm a singer. I had been singing and playing at folk festivals and releasing albums, and, you know, I happened to have a very high voice. Approaching the media with my next release, okay, now I'm going to go by he, but my voice is going to be the same, you know? So it created a lot of complications.
So at what point did you begin to feel like the trans man label didn't quite fit either?
I think it also happened in the same way where I met people who were, I basically moved to Montreal like 5 years ago, and I met people who were living kind of genderqueer, gender neutral kind of lives and asking to be called the they pronoun or like other gender neutral pronouns. And so I saw this option. I guess, you know, without changing my body, I end up in all of these like absurd kind of situations, like having to argue over if I was a man or not. And at some point, you know, arguing that I was a man became very absurd because I took like a closer look at the gender binary and I was like, well, but there are people who are born in assigned male with high voices or people who have hips, or there's all of these variances within people who aren't trans in the gender binary. And so it started to feel a bit more like a joke to me, I guess.
Like just these artificial labels that we ascribe to people?
You know, if you're like, why can't you call me he? And someone's like, well, you have hips. And you're like, but so does he. I don't know. So I kind of
There are a few other anatomical differences, though.
Yeah, but, you know, it is on a spectrum. And for me, like the things that people could see and the differences just started to feel a bit like it was being more enforced on trans people than on people who aren't transgender. So I decided to just kind of retire.
So that's fascinating. What does that mean? How do you retire from gender?
It means that I'm not doing anything to convince anyone that I'm either side of the gender binary. Now, if I want to wear like nail polish, I'm just like, right on, I'm wearing nail polish. You know, because I can't actually change what people think my gender is necessarily. There's only so far you can go to convince people you are a gender. And so I retired from trying to convince people, basically.
So that's really interesting, because that suggests that gender has everything to do with how other people see you rather than how you see yourself. What about internally, personally for you? Do you feel like I'm not a man, I'm not a woman, I'm neither, or I'm both?
I feel like I'm neither. I mean, I think that for me, whenever I try to boil down, you know, the ways you'd behave to be a man or a woman, I always end up back in sexism. I just tried to stop ascribing, like, behavior patterns or, like, bodies or certain things to a gender so that I kind of got lost in it. I do feel like retired. Like, I've tried a few things, though. The retirement was, like, my sort of, like, homecoming from trying or something to, like, really differentiate myself for people and tell them, like, what I was or what I wasn't.
So what does it mean practically to retire from gender? I mean, what have you changed about your lifestyle?
Well, fortunately, you know, I'm self-employed, so I don't have to, like, convince a boss to go along with it. And basically, I interact a lot with media and different people. So it's been kind of interesting because I was out in Canada and in the States and in Europe when I was touring as a trans man. And then I was just like, okay, I guess I'm going to start going by the they pronoun. And so I came out and I made sure my publicist knew. And that has been really interesting because what publications will actually use it in print and all the arguments you get into about the correctness of it. And I was doing interviews with people in, like, really small towns in the prairies. And actually, like, I've seen media use it in these, like, sort of mainstream papers in small towns. So,
you know, it seems to me like the trans community is becoming increasingly visible in North America. I mean, I just learned, for example, that there's a transgender bathroom in my kid's public high school. But to drop gender altogether seems like something that a lot of people will find a brand new idea and maybe kind of challenging. You must end up doing a lot of explaining.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't mind, though, you know. But yeah, when people ask me about retiring, I kind of just say what I said to you, which is that it kind of became absurd to me at one point, fighting for a pronoun, because there are certain things like a higher voice. There are certain things that would make people convinced that I wasn't allowed to be called the male pronoun. I think I basically just wanted to take the authority out of other people's hands to decide.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's actually, to go by the they pronoun is, like, getting more popular, especially in younger queer communities, at least where I've been lately. So it's an interesting kind of movement.
I'm curious, just thinking about it, you know, as we talk, I'm thinking, you know, having the freedom to walk away from all of the expectations that we place on ourselves because of gender, that seems potentially very liberating.
I do feel very free. And also musically, like, because I am kind of taking this, what could be seen as, like, really far over the edge standpoint on gender, it kind of frees me from having a commercial music career. So, like, artistically, it's freed me to do whatever I want. I was a country singer, and then I was like, I'm just going to make some electronic music. And nobody really complained. I'm not certainly declaring that everybody should be gender neutral and that it's the ideal thing to do. And, you know, I think it's just great to see different options, and for youth, you know, younger people who are trans or queer, or to see different options of ways to live your life.
You know, to a lot of people, this is just going to sound so strange, like a strange new world. And yet for you, it feels really natural and really fluid. Do you feel like the community that you live inside, is this a vision of the future?
I don't know. I don't think it's a vision of the future for, you know, for the whole world. I just think that it's nice to make space for people in any way. Yeah, I know it actually sounds strange. Like, when I decided to change to the they pronoun, I was, like, quite aware that a lot of the places that I tour, when I went back and said that, it was going to sound like I said the robots had landed or something. But then, you know, as I've been returning to places or being in small towns or being on tour and interacting with lots of people outside of the community, I've found, like, a lot of acceptance for it. So that's why I'm so optimistic now, is it's been a year and a half, 2 years since I came out as that. And people, you know, are putting an effort in to make space for me, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. That's great. Thank you so much for talking with us about it.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you.
And you.
Ray Spoon is a Canadian writer and musician. Their recent memoir is called First Spring Grass Fire. You can watch Ray Spoon's Gender Failure performance on our website, ttbook.org.